September 8, 1928, Interest of God in One Who Lives in His Divine Will. Example of the Son. How everything will be known of the sacrifices that Louisa has made in order to make the divine will known. I was feeling oppressed because of the privation of my beloved Jesus. Oh, how I would have wanted to take a leap into the celestial regions, never to go out of them again, and so end it with these blessed privations of Him that make me live dying. Ah, yes, if by His goodness Jesus lets me reach His fatherland, He will no longer be able to hide from me, nor will I ever again be without Him, even for one instant. Therefore, hurry, my love, let us end it once and for all with these privations of you, for I can take no more. And I felt so embittered that more than sharp sword, it pierced my poor soul through. Now at that moment, my beloved Jesus came out from within my interior and told me, "My daughter, courage. Don't you know that our interest in one who does my will and lives in it is so great that she is kept by us as our own thing, exclusively ours, inseparable from us? Our divine volition is inseparable from us, and as much as its light spreads, the center of it is always within us, symbolized by the light of the sun, that, while expanding and extending over the whole earth, holding it in its own hand of light, never departs from its sphere, nor is the light divided or loses even one drop of light. In fact, light is not separable, and if it could be divided, it would no longer be true light. Therefore, the sun can say, 'All the light is mine.' The same for us. The light of our divine will is interminable and inseparable, and it makes the soul in whom it reigns our own and inseparable from us. So since we are her, since we keep her as our own thing, it is our interest to give honor to ourselves and to interest her so much with all of our divine qualities as to be able to say to all, 'In this creature there is divine life, because the light of our fiat dominates.' Therefore, our interests, that everything in her be holy, pure, beautiful, and that she be invested with our happiness, everything must give of divine will. Just as the earth, when it is invested by the light of the sun, loses darkness and gives completely of light, in such a way that the light acts as queen, and dominating the earth, it makes itself the nourisher of it, communicating to it the life and the effects of the light. In the same way, our divine will, when it reigns in the creature, dispels evils, puts to flight darkness, weakness, miseries, afflictions, and as queen, makes itself nourisher of light, of strength, of divine riches, and of happiness. Therefore, for one who lives in our fiat, bitternesses, oppressions, and everything that gives of human will loses their place, because the light of our fiat tolerates nothing but what belongs to it. And just as our divine will takes all interest in the creature as something that belongs to it, so does the creature lose all human interests and acquires all divine interests. From this it can be seen whether my divine will reigns, if she no longer feels any interest of her own. And if she does, It means that the soul does not possess the fullness of my fiat. There are still little voids empty of its light, and therefore the human makes itself felt, and the soul comes to take on human interests. Therefore, bitternesses, oppressions out of your soul. These are things that no longer belong to you. To you belongs the light and everything that the light of my will can possess. After this, I was thinking to myself, how many sacrifices are needed for this kingdom of the fiat? Sacrifice of writing, sacrifice of rest and of sleep, suffering, incessant prayers, continuous death to my human volition, so that the divine may have perennial life, and many other things that only Jesus knows. And after all this, maybe nothing good will be seen, no glory to God. Therefore, so many sacrifices without utility and without effects. But while I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus came out from within my interior and, clasping me in his arms, told me, "My daughter, what are you saying? There is not one sacrifice you have made that will not have its value, its precious effects, because everything that is done in my will and to impetrate it, that it be known, acquires divine life and communicative virtue as its nature, in such a way as to communicate to others the divine life and the virtue it possesses. So much so that everything you have done and suffered is present at this moment before God in impetrative act to obtain that creatures dispose themselves, and that God concede a good so great. Then my will becomes known, and its kingdom is accomplished. All the words you have written, the night vigils, your incessant prayers, your rounds upon rounds in the work of creation and redemption, your long years of bed, your pains and sacrifices will then shine like rays of the sun, like diamonds and precious stones of infinite value, that little by little, those who will have the great good of knowing my will and of living in its kingdom will recognize. Even more, they will know that the foundations bejeweled, the factories raised, are cemented with the many sacrifices of the one to whom the mission of making known the kingdom of my will was entrusted. Everything will be known in clear notes. Also those who have contributed, who have directed you, and who have commanded you to write, and have interested themselves with making known with words or with writings what regards my divine fiat. And this is nothing. All the good that those who possess the kingdom of my fiat will do, the glory that they will give me, will descend and ascend again into the ones who have been the origin and the cause of a good so great. And even if you are in heaven, the communicative virtue of my will that has lived life in you on earth will place you in communication. It will keep all the ways open between you and them. So, your life and everything you have done and suffered will be in their midst, and everything they will do will have its origin in you, because one is the divine will of one and of the other. And if you knew the glory, the contentments, the delights that will come to you, you would love to sacrifice yourself more, so that my will be known and dominate in the midst of creatures.
The next to last page, what he's telling Luisa just reminds us of the value that we have, that we're entering into, and what it's, what good it's going to do for us. He says, see, the next to last paragraph says, but while I was thinking of this, my always lovable Jesus came out from within my interior, clasped me in his arms, told me, my daughter, what are you saying? There is not one sacrifice you have made that will not have its value, its precious effects, because everything that is done in my will and to infiltrate that it be known requires divine life and communicated virtues as its nature in such a way as to communicate to others the divine life and the virtue it possesses, so much so that everything you have done and suffered is present at the moment before God in imperative act to obtain that creatures dispose themselves that God concedes a good so great. So as he's reminding Luisa how good and what happens with her acts in the divine will, then we automatically think of ourselves and how we're doing in that line, you know, these things. So we're not as good as Luisa, but we're using her, what he's telling her, as example for ourselves. It reminds us how powerful it is, any little act done in divine will, no matter how small, how great it is for us. We can. So it's just not just Luisa when he's telling her all this and how great it is, but we can apply it to ourselves, and it'll motivate us to throughout the day to try to be in the divine will, try to do whatever we're doing in the divine will. Doesn't have to be holy things, could be anything, whether it just be there, just be in the divine will and get in the habit of that. Because I say that all the time, because that's basic, but we need to be remind ourselves. And this little bit here that we read, this is what I'm talking about. And when he's telling Luisa how powerful and how great it is, so when we come across that, we just want to apply it to ourselves the best we can. Amen.
Maybe this is a good time. Does anybody else have any comments on that reading before we go to the next one?
What I was thinking is that even though, I mean, it's not that we live in the divine will all the time, but even all the acts that we did before we even heard about the divine will, we can give life to, or you know, pray, repair and redo in the divine will, so that our whole life and the lives of others can also be acts in the divine will, even though they weren't done at first. Is that right, Deacon?
Deacon, I think you're muted.
Oh, I'm sorry. And I just said, what did you say, Marie? Okay, this is not laughing. This is so serious and so great that we get, and we want to make sure we get the most out of it, of this reading, you know. But go ahead, I interrupted somebody.
Well, Lindy was talking about how we can repair and redo our past acts.
Right. So it's just a reminder of so much power that we have in the divine will, so much that it's what's a great gift it is. And we just don't want to pass over that without realizing that, so that it motivates us just to remind us to go in the divine will throughout our day. And that's what our goal is, to be able to remember to be in the divine will, and we'll always be happy no matter what we have to put up with. Because when we have to put up with things we don't want to put up with, we're saying we're happy because we have something to offer in the divine will. So that's a good thing. So it's all good in the divine will, even bad things that other people would say, and we make them in, put them in the divine will, and it's a good thing.
Anybody else?
Yeah, I was just thinking it's a wonderful thing that we can redo our acts and in the divine will, because boy, I have a lot of acts I need to redo.
Jesus makes it so easy for us and to be in the divine will. And sometimes it's unbelievable how easy it is. All we have to do is tap into what he's given us and all the information he's given us and use it. He tells us so much that we can do to be in the divine will and stay in the divine will. We just have to make use of that information he's given us, because no one wants us to be in the divine will more than Jesus does, because he sees how valuable it is and how important it is and how great it is. So he wants it more than we do, because we don't see all that things, all those qualities right away. And so he does, he sees it, he sees, and he must lament sometimes that we're passing it off, especially us that are learning about the divine will, and we forget to put ourselves in the divine will. And that's what it's all about.
Deacon, I have a question in regards to what Lindy said. I see myself doing that a lot in my own acts, redoing for all the times that I've done that particular thing and not done it in the divine will. But in regards to other people, I seem to have so many, I'm sure we all do, friends suffering with cancer treatments and, you know, terrible sufferings that they're going through. Is it possible for us to take those acts which they're doing and offer them in the divine will? I mean, they're not our acts, they're sufferings which they're doing, but I just feel like they're going through so much suffering and it could be used in so many ways if it was done in the divine will. But of course, I can't force that thinking on them. But is there some way I can take that and redo it?
Deacon, I think you're muted.
Yeah, we can just remember to put ourselves in the divine will, and we can do so much in the divine will. But that's where we have to be. We have to be in the divine will to do what you just mentioned, you know, to be able to redo others and help others in that way. I don't know if I explained that well enough, but that's a question that we want to do, but we have to be in the divine will to do it, you know. We can do so much when we're in the divine will, and redoing is one of them. Amen.
For me, it seems like if you have any, say you're worried about people or you have a little anxiety about a situation, if you are in the divine will, we shouldn't have any of that. I know in my life, I say, oh, but I'm doing my acts today, or I'm offering my prayers in the divine will. So none of that should ever come into us. So that's encouraging for me, just to remind myself that when you're in the divine will, none of that comes in. No anxiety, no worry about loved ones or anything, about the situation in the world. And the divine will actually protects us and our loved ones, and I think that's a very comforting thought.
And Donna, I think too that you know, Louisa, in during her rounds, we can pray for the other people who are suffering, and because she would redo and repair acts, or you know, I mean, I do think that you can. I count on it, but I don't know if that's right. I just figure God is so generous that, yeah, I think it is.
Donna, I've been finding myself doing the same thing.
Thank you. Thank you all. I appreciate it. I mean, I think, I'm not sure if I explain myself well, but I get it in all your answers, that it's more than praying for them. It's actually taking what they're going through and lifting it somehow in the divine will.
Yes, offering their sufferings for them, since you know they don't know how.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yes.
I guess if we remember that we're doing, I think this is how I take it, we're doing in the divine will anything Jesus could do, right? So if Jesus could do it, he wants us to, he's doing it in us. So anything is possible.
Oh, that's a good explanation, Warren, because he suffered for things that weren't his.
Yeah, everything.
They were ours, right, yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, all humanity that ever lived, it's just, that's what I, like, I try and keep it in my mind as simple as I can. And I say, okay, even though I'm sinful, this is Jesus in me doing it. And then it opens up a whole new world. And it makes you realize how that he's actually giving these things for us to do, us sinful people, the things that he can do. And you're like, whoa, the immensity of this. I don't know if we'll ever understand it really.
Right. Sometimes it's hard to get beyond that unworthiness.
It kind of reminds you of divine mercy, that gift, what he's given us sinful humanity, this mercy. Like, you want to say, he's forgiving this sin? He's doing this? And it makes you see how, makes you love him even more when you accept the gift. So it's a great gift, both of them. Okay, if anybody else doesn't have anything, we can move on. Somebody else want to say something?
You know, I was just going to say that he talks about the difference between his teachings on redemption and how he had to make them so simple and use simple analogies for the people to understand, and that how much greater the divine will teachings are compared to his redemption.
Yeah.
There's so much that's so different from what our normal natural life is. Some of these, like, look, most people, when we have discussion like this, they bring up redo because it's such a gift. It's such a great gift. We can't believe it, how it works, you know. But Jesus said this. Jesus told us this. You know, he wants us to enter into his, he tells Louisa at one point, enter into my will, so, and redo all that my humanity did in the supreme will, you know, so that you may unite your own access to mine and those of my mother's. Now that's big time, isn't it? You are going so that you may unite your own acts with to mine and to those of my mother. It has been decreed that if a creature does not enter into the eternal will and therefore render our acts in triplicate, the supreme will not descend upon earth and make its way among human generations. I want an entourage of triple acts in order to reveal itself. So hurry. I'm just reading this from Jesus in 1923. He mentions that. He tells us about. So he makes it simple. It's not very complicated, you know. He says, in the name of all, love, repair, and redo for all in divine manner. He tells her, I have done it for all, and now I want you to do it for all. He's given us, it's almost unbelievable what he's given us, you know, but we want to be aware of that, you know, that and what sacrifices it takes for us to do this. We have to do it in the divine will. So what sacrifices it takes to be in the divine will. We have all these gifts that he's given us one after another when we study this, not just redo, but all other things. And we want to take advantage of them when we can. So that's why we say we want to study, we want to read, we want to absorb it all, you know. And I think the last few minutes we did absorb something. You know, we had these questions. And thank you for whoever brought up the initial question. But that question comes up a lot when there's discussions, because we want to do. And we know we can do, but we don't know how to do it. By that, I mean redo things or help people suffering or absorb their suffering or whatever, all that we can give. But we want to read it from Jesus and hear Jesus telling us. That's why we're doing the readings like this, you know, that what does Jesus want us to do? And he tells us, and we have to think, that sounds pretty hard, or that sounds pretty easy, or whatever it is. That's why we're studying the divine will. And we never finish studying the divine will. There's so much we can learn. And the more we learn, the more we love it, and the more we want to know more. That's why we'll never stop studying the divine will. Amen.
Okay, I think we have time for one more reading.
Thank you. September 10th, 1928. One who operates in the divine will opens as many doors between heaven and earth for as many acts as she emits. The glory of Adam in heaven, how his acts prior to his fall into sin remained intact and beautiful while he remained wounded. How in Adam it is known in heaven what God did in creation. I was following all that the divine will had done in creation and redemption. I would have wanted to leave not one of its acts without my little act as its company and perennial homage of glory and of love for a will so holy. And my sweet Jesus, moving in my interior, told me, my daughter, how content I am that you do not leave my divine will isolated in its so many works done not for itself, as it had no need of it, but only out of love for the creature. You must know that as you move from one of our acts, one of our works, to another in order to recognize our love in them, to give us love and glory, we find the requital of our love in the one who recognizes our works. How bitter and sorrowful it is to do good out of pure love and not be recognized. And when we find one who recognizes our works, we feel as though repaid for what we have done, because we gave love, and love we receive. And to one who lives and operates in our divine will, we give freedom to establish many bonds between heaven and earth, to open many doors of communication, to place many chains so as to make her acts ascend into heaven, and make many graces descend for the good of all creatures. In fact, these works of ours, that of creation and that of redemption, have been done on the face of the earth and have the virtue of opening heaven. And in order to have it opened through them, we make use of one who operates in our divine will. And while he was saying this, he showed me many open doors in heaven through which many gold chains descended that bound the earth for as many works as my sweet Jesus had done. Then I continued my round in the works of the Supreme Majesty, and as I reached the point of the creation of man, I thought to myself, Adam lived the beginning of his life in the divine will, so his thoughts, words, works, and steps were animated by the unity of the fiat that embraces everything and contains everything. Nothing escapes it. Therefore, his acts possess the totality and fullness of everyone and of all goods. And if one act alone, done in this way, in the unity of the fiat that embraces everything, is such that all other acts of creatures put together cannot equal this act alone. Adam, who lived a period of his life in this unity of the fiat, who knows how many he was able to do? So his glory in heaven must be great, and perhaps it surpasses everything, except for the sovereign queen, who forms complete life in the divine will. It is true that Adam sinned and went out of this unity of divine will, but if he went out, his act remained, because I believe that no strength, either divine or human, can destroy even one act alone done in this unity of the fiat that embraces everything and possesses everything. God himself cannot annihilate a similar act, or at most, he would have to destroy his own divine will, that he cannot do either. Because being eternal and infinite, without beginning and without end, it is untouchable by anything, and no one can touch it. Then, while my poor little mind wandered amidst these and other thoughts, and I would have wanted to free myself so as to move elsewhere, my beloved Jesus, making himself seen, told me, "Daughter of my supreme volition, I want to hide nothing from you, because for one who lives in it, my will itself makes itself the revealer of what it has done for love of the creature, and of what the creature herself has done in it, because it carries them in its womb as the triumph of its works. Now you must know that, indeed, Adam possesses a glory in heaven that is given to no one else, as holy as he may be, except for the celestial mama, because no one else possesses even one act in the unity of my divine will. It was just and decorous for our divine majesty that the first creature that came out of our creative hands possess more glory than all the others, more so since the first period of his life was carried out as we wanted. It can be said that it was our life, our will, and our works that flowed within him. How could we destroy this first period of the life of Adam, since it was more ours than his? It is useless to think about it. Whatever is done in our divine will remains untouchable. No one can touch it, because these acts enter the divine and infinite order. And even though Adam slipped and fell, his acts done up to that moment remained intact and beautiful as he had done them. He was the one who remained wounded, ill, our image disfigured in him, because our divine will that had taken on the commitment to keep him beautiful, fresh, strong, holy, completely in order with us, just as we had created him, was no longer in him, because Adam himself had rejected it. But his works done up to the moment when he had the misfortune of falling, that possessed the unity of our fiat, suffered no change, because we too were jealous of these acts that had glorified us so much. They had put us in feast, as we saw that man, our son, elevated himself up to us in order to absorb into himself our divine manners, our likeness, and to bring us in the unity of our will, joys, happinesses, the requital and the smile of all created things. We were enraptured in seeing our dear son, the work of our hands, live in our will, as though in our home, taking from our own, he was able to bring us new happinesses and joys without end. My daughter, the first period of the life of Adam is unforgettable for us, for him, and for the whole of heaven. After he fell into sin, he remained like a blind man who, before losing his sight, has done so many beautiful works as to fill heaven and earth. Who could ever say that those are not works done by him only because he voluntarily lost his sight? And that, since he no longer repeat them because he is blind, the ones he has done remain without value? Certainly no one. Or if a person who applies himself to study science in the middle of his studies no longer wants to continue, can anyone take away or destroy the goods of the science he has acquired only because he does not continue? Certainly not. If this happens in the human order, much more so, and with more validity and certainty in the divine order. So by virtue of the first period of his life, innocent and carried out all in the unity of our fiat, Adam possesses such glory and beauty that no one can equal him. And at the mere sight of him, all the blessed recognize how beautiful and majestic the creation of the first man was, enriched with so much grace. And looking at him, they can see in him the incalculable good of the divine will in the creature, the joy and the happiness that the creature can possess, and in him alone, as though in a mirror, the blessed can see how man was created, the exuberant love that we had for him, the abundance with which we enriched him. We gave him everything, as much as creature could contain, to the point of overflowing outside and being able to flood the whole earth. If it were not so, if the whole magnificence of our creative hands could not be seen in Adam, not even in heaven would the great things we did in creation be known, and what the creature does and can do in our divine will. It is our love that demands this, and also our justice that wants to have in heaven the reality of that image as man was created, and not another man, but the very one who came out of our creative hands, so that if the earth does not know him, heaven may know him. They look at their origin in Adam, and grateful they thank me and pray that my fiat may come to reign upon earth and form more images more beautiful than Adam, because he was not a complete work in my divine will, a period of life. Only the sovereign queen possesses complete life and works in my fiat. Therefore, there is no one who can equal her, and my will wants to make more complete lives in it, so as to repeat what it did in creation, to make known to the earth in what way and order was the creature created, and the great, beautiful, holy things that my divine will can do in her. Moreover, you must know that up to now, I have not manifested to anyone either the great qualities of Adam or his sublimity, greatness, and sanctity, because he lived his first period of his life in the unity of my will, and by virtue of these acts of his done in it, his great glory that he enjoys in heaven. Many, on the contrary, believe that since he slipped into sin, at the most he could have a glory common to all the other blessed, or perhaps even less than the others. But wanting to restore again the kingdom of my divine will, I feel within me a necessity of love to manifest the first epoch of creation, the first period of the life of Adam, all of divine will, as well as the glory he enjoys in heaven by virtue of it, so that as other creatures come to know a good so great, they may dispose themselves and long for the divine fiat on earth as it is in heaven.
Deacon, can you give us your blessing?
Bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. Benedicta vos omnipotentes, Pater et Filii, Spiritus Sanctus. Amen. Fiat.
Come divine will.
Come divine will.
Fiat. Amen.
Fiat. Divine will.
Fiat. Come divine will.
Fiat. Come divine will. Thank you all.
Thank you all for your help today.
Fiat. Come divine will.
God bless you all. Lynn, is that Lynn Davis on?